Welcome to the Banner of Truth broadcast. The following program of inspiration is brought to you by the Free Reformed Churches of North America. You can find one or more Free Reformed Churches in this station's listening area. And now, the Banner of Truth with Pastor Hans Overduun, the minister of the Calgary Free Reformed Church.
'98, '99, '100. Are those the grades you are getting on your tests and exams at school, maybe? Or is this perhaps the speed you go on the highway? Or maybe someone's counting while everyone hides and waits to be found, playing the game hide and seek? No, dear hearers, these numbers now, 98, 99, and 100, are not about grades at school or how fast one is driving or playing a game, but these are texts in the Bible, in Psalm 119, the longest psalm in the Bible, the only verses 98, 99, and 100 in the Bible. And these three texts together, you know what they are about? They are about learning wisdom. And yes, in fact, these verses give God-inspired guidance for becoming and being most wise. One study Bible even describes the whole eight-verse segment, where all the verses begin with the letter M in the Hebrew, Mem, verses 97 to 104, are out to teach us that, quote, meditation on God's law yields the highest wisdom. Well, listen as I read now to you Psalm 119, verse 98, 99, and 100. Thou through thy commandments hast made me wiser than mine enemies, for they are ever with me. I have more understanding than all my teachers, for thy testimonies are my meditation. I understand more than the ancients, because I keep thy precepts. Think with me, dear friends, what's being said here by the psalmist. He says he has found a way to be wiser, more with it than his enemies, and he has more understanding or insight and discernment than all his teachers, and he has a better grasp and grip on life than the older people or eldest ones around, the ancients, as stated in King James Version. Now these are quite the statements, don't you think? What's in view with enemies are those not fearing nor submitting to God's word and will. All the teachers mentioned here, too, refer very clearly in this context to all unbelieving and ungodly teachers, those who would instruct others while themselves not confessing God and His Word as the primary authority in life. The elderly as well, that really are not showing true wisdom and understanding, they are all those who live and die old without ever being converted and submitting to God and His Word. Important to understand here is that the psalmist is not boasting now about how much he himself knows and how wise he is compared to others. He is not telling us here just how very smart he is over against all his ignorant enemies and foolish teachers and the unwise elderly ones. No, rather, what is the clear emphasis of the text in each of these three verses? Well, it is how being led and guided by God's word, how that gives the psalmist true insight and understanding and discernment that just can't be found otherwise, anywhere, by anyone. Psalm 119 is all about the worth and value and treasure that the inspired Holy Bible is for us when blessed to us by the Holy Spirit. And when the psalmist in our text speaks of God's commandments, testimonies, and precepts, those are just three of eight different words in the whole psalm referring to God's precious word. Each time the psalmist is highlighting the value and blessing of God's whole word. Very specifically, God's commandments followed make us wiser than our enemies. God's testimonies studied and followed make us have more understanding than all around us, even more than the smartest leaders in the world who live without God and His word. And God's precepts, His instructions in all the details of life, when lived by, make us more insightful and discerning than all the elderly with all their life experiences apart from God. You see, verses 98, 99, and 100 is not about the score on tests or the speedometer reading when driving or someone counting for hide and seek. But these scripture texts are teaching us from God the way of true wisdom and most profitable education and ultimate understanding of all things for you and for me. And how important as individuals and as families and as churches, how vitally important to be all into learning and loving the Bible and living by it too. In thinking through this more, let's focus on three questions. First, why is this the case? I mean, what makes the Bible such a special book above every other book in all the world? The answer is the Bible is God's holy word given to us. The Bible is God's spirit-breathed, inspired, inerrant, infallible word, revealing to us all important truths which otherwise we never, ever could or would know nor understand. The Bible is not a book from a false idol god of man's own making. No, it's not at all like the Quran or the Book of Mormons or the Sikh holy book or the Jewish Talmud. No, instead the Bible, dear friends, is, as expressed in the Belgic Confession, Article 3, not sent nor delivered by the will of man, but it is from God above to us and for us, supernaturally provided and preserved for us by God from a special care which he has for us and our salvation. The Holy Spirit-led writings of Moses to the Apostle John, first and last writers of the Bible, and all the 40 or so between, from the Old Testament books of Genesis on to the last of the New Testament books, Revelation, in all 66 books of the Bible, it's all unique, divine revelation. For as Peter says in 2 Peter 1:21, for the prophecy came not in old time by the will of man, but holy men of God spake as they were moved, carried along and directed, that is, by the Holy Ghost. Oh, what a book this is, the Bible. Consequently, no volume has had so much impact and effect and influence in the whole history of the world as the Holy Bible. Amazingly, it remains the best-selling book in all the world, year after year, even in our modern-day world. Yet, though it's so much a bestseller, you wonder how much it is read today. It is only fools who despise God's word as given to us in the Holy Bible, and only the blind spiritually and the corrupt and wicked morally refuse to consider it and submit to it. Think further concerning the specific teaching of the Bible. Only the Bible tells us truths from the eternal past we could never otherwise know, and reaches out into the eternal future of which we never can know either, except from God's word. Only the Bible tells us about the creation of the world and the special creation of man when God made Adam and Eve in the Garden of Eden and breathed life into them as his image bearers, made with special divine delight and precious everlasting purpose. We are not accidental scum made for no one and nothing and going nowhere. No, no, we are made by God in a special way, for a special design and purpose. It is from the Bible only that we learn about man's fall into sin too, and how devastating and deplorable that was and is. And at the same time, only and most wonderfully, it is from the Bible that we learn about God's promise to send a Savior to save sinners like us, to bring rescue to this sin-doomed, perishing world. Likewise, so beautifully and gloriously, it is from the Bible, therefore, that we learn about God's astounding faithfulness to all his gospel promises, giving his own beloved Son as crucified and risen Savior, even for the redemption of sinners and the perfect renewal one day of this whole sin-cursed world and universe in and through him. And finally, and especially, it is from the Bible that we learn the gospel way of salvation by grace alone, through faith alone, in Christ alone. Don't we have to say, dear friends, the Bible and the Bible alone gives us true and everlasting perspective on all the main issues of life and death for body and soul, for now and eternity? Likewise, the Bible gives holy direction and insight on all the lesser matters of life, even to the finest detail in regards to everything and everyone, everywhere and in every time. This is why it is so correct what someone has said. Education is useless without the Bible. Education is useless without the Bible. Thinking of that, how sad and tragic when people today want to pursue more studies and learning, all the while ignoring and despising and also pushing out the Holy Bible. How foolish that is. Of course, we say that especially and ultimately because the Bible testifies and teaches specifically and magnificently and so helpfully too about the Lord Jesus Christ. Remember what Jesus said in John 5:39, the scriptures testify of me. And in Luke chapter 24, the risen Savior himself explains how all the scriptures are concerning himself as crucified and risen Savior and the desperate need of him for us all and the blessed Savior he is for all who trust and follow him and his gospel word. This same is what we confess to in the Heidelberg Catechism again in question and answer 19. The question there is, how do we come to know about the only God-sent mediator between God and men we each and all need so desperately for abundant life and fullness of life and eternal life? Where do we learn about Jesus, who of God is made unto us wisdom and righteousness and sanctification and redemption? From where do you learn this all? The Catechism asks. Answer, from the Holy Gospel, which God himself revealed in paradise and afterwards published by the patriarchs and prophets and represented by the sacrifices and other ceremonies of the law, and lastly has fulfilled it by his only begotten Son. We know, in fact, from the Gospel of John chapter 1, that Jesus is the Word made flesh. And that is teaching us all the scriptures declare about the only Savior of sinners we find confirmed in the person and work of Christ Jesus as crucified and risen Redeemer. People today want to separate Christ from the Word, the Bible, but Christ is revealed to us in the Bible, from the Bible, out of the Bible. Writing about Christ the Savior, Paul declares of him in Colossians 2, verse 3, in whom are hid all the treasures of wisdom and knowledge. In other words, no true knowledge worth anything or wisdom that stands forever can ever be found outside of Christ or apart from him and his holy word. Isn't this also why reformer John Calvin said hundreds of years ago, quote, to search for wisdom apart from Christ and his word means not simply foolhardiness, but utter insanity. What's more, doesn't this explain too why Paul, again as one inspired by God the Holy Spirit, so exhorts Timothy as he does in 2 Timothy 3, verse 14 to chapter 4, verse 5, as part of Paul's parting words before his own death. He writes Timothy, but continue thou in the things which thou hast learned and hast been assured of, knowing of whom thou hast learned them, and that from a child thou hast known the holy scriptures, which are able to make thee wise unto salvation through faith which is in Christ Jesus. All scripture is given by inspiration of God and is profitable for doctrine, for reproof, for correction, for instruction in righteousness, that the man of God may be perfect, thoroughly furnished unto all good works. I charge thee therefore before God and the Lord Jesus Christ, who shall judge the living and the dead at his appearing and his kingdom. Preach the word, Timothy. Preach the word, be instant, in season, out of season. Reprove, rebuke, exhort, with all long-suffering and doctrine. For the time will come when they will not endure sound doctrine, but after their own lusts shall they heap to themselves teachers, having itching ears. And they shall turn away their ears from the truth, and shall be turned unto fables. But watch thou in all things, endure afflictions, do the work of an evangelist, make full proof of thy ministry. Do you see with me, dear friends, why verses 98, 99, and 100 of Psalm 119 are so all important for us and giving guidance for becoming most wise? We read in Luke 2 about Jesus himself growing up as a child and youth, being filled with wisdom, and the grace of God was upon him. And as the years went by, Jesus increased in wisdom and stature and in favor with God and man. How did this happen for Jesus? But by himself also taking most seriously God's word and having the word serve as a lamp to his feet and a light upon his path. Following the wisest man that ever lived, even Christ, the only Savior of sinners, means living in and by and out of and under and with God's Word as your treasure and confidence and hope and comfort in all your ways. Is that how it is too in your life, dear friends? Is this what you desire and pursue too sincerely and increasingly even? Asking you about these matters leads us now to our second question related to Psalm 119, verses 98 to 100. And that is, not only why is God's word so all important, but how do we experience it to be so? How does it happen that the Holy Bible really speaks to you and to me and has practical impact and blessed influence in your and my life? Well, here again, let's go back to the text of Psalm 119 for answering this crucial question. Notice with me, just from our three verses, what the believing psalmist does with God's word. In verse 98, we learn he has God's commandments ever with him. And he means with that, he desires always God's word and will to direct him in all his paths. In verse 99, we learn the psalmist meditates and reflects on God's word in prayer and care, that God bless his word to his mind and heart truly and constantly. Thy testimonies are my meditation, he says, meaning my matter of study and care and prayer and exercise. The psalmist didn't just read the word or leave the word on the shelf between its covers or scroll rolls, but he so desired and delighted in it being in his mind and heart, and he prayed God to bless his reading and reflection on God's word. In verse 100, he lets us know too, he keeps God's word. He didn't read it and forget it, or doubt it, or scorn it. No, he loved it and lived it and sought to keep it in all his ways. Now, we can't fully grasp the meaning and instruction of our three verses, 98 to 100, without thinking further of the whole of Psalm 119. This whole psalm, altogether in its 22 sections, 176 verses total, is the psalmist's Holy Spirit-inspired psalm and prayer of praise for God's word. Over and over, the psalmist tells of the everlasting riches and reliability of God's word. And over and over, the psalmist prays for God to open the word to him and to open his mind and heart to the word. And repeatedly, too, you hear him pray, "Teach me, teach me, teach me." The psalmist would wholly submit, you see, to all God's inspired word. And he desired, by God's grace and spirit, wholeheartedly to understand and live by God's word. The believing psalmist knew and experienced in humble reliance on God that his word is full of endless treasures of wisdom and knowledge and guidance and salvation and hope and help for soul and body and through life and death and for eternity. He read and meditated on God's word with prayer and expectation and anticipation and humility and love before God and his neighbor. He learned early and became convinced more and more as the years went by that everything in life must be viewed through the grid of Scripture, or we would see things wrongly and go far astray. Well, is this now your and my conviction and confession too, by God's grace? Won't you also then acknowledge, as expressed in a poem called A Student's Prayer by J. Peterson? Listen as I read it. God, the all-wise and creator of the human intellect, guide our search for truth and knowledge, all our thoughts and ways direct. Help us build the towers of learning that would make us wise, astute, on the rock of Holy Scripture, truth revealed and absolute. Oh, how vast the shores of learning! There are still uncharted seas, and they call to bold adventure those who turn from sloth and ease. But we need thy hand to guide us in our studies we pursue, and the presence of thy Spirit to illumine all we do. May the things we learn so meager never lift our hearts in pride, till in foolish self-reliance we would wander from thy side. Let them only bind us closer, Lord, to thee, in whom we find very fountainhead of wisdom, light, and life of all mankind. I ask, doesn't this prayer reflect, like with the psalmist, humble realization of our sin and folly by nature as fallen sinners? And doesn't this prayer reflect, like with the psalmist, faith in God and His Word as all important and most needful? Doesn't this prayer reflect too, like with the psalmist, desire ever to be led by God's Spirit and Word in all our ways? Can you say now too, so it is in your life as well, not of your own doing, but by God's renewing grace and mercy and love in your life for Jesus' sake? For sure it is the case that this is what we long for and pray for and aim for in all the Christian gospel ministry at home and school and church when it's well. That we and our children come to know the Lord, yes, in spirit and truth, and that such be demonstrated and proven, especially in the way of love and zeal for the Bible, in reading it and knowing it and submitting to it and loving it and living it and promoting it. For it is in and from this book, the Bible, the Holy Bible only, blessed by God's Spirit to us, that you and I begin to learn and increase in learning, following the letters of the English alphabet, the way of amazing acceptance with God rather than awful alienation from God, the way of belief in Christ rather than boasting of self and this world, the way of clarity rather than confusion, the way of devotion instead of distraction, the way of expectation rather than emptiness, the way of faithful friendship rather than of foolish foes, the way of grace instead of guilt, the way of help instead of hurt, the way of integrity instead of iniquity, the way of joyfulness instead of joylessness, the way of kindness instead of killing, the way of eternal life rather than loss forever, the way of mercy instead of misery, the way of nobleness rather than nothingness, the way of obedience instead of obstinacy, the way of peace as opposed to perverseness, the way of quietude rather than quivering, the way of reconciliation instead of rebellion, the way of salvation instead of sinfulness, the way of truth and trust rather than tension and turmoil, the way of usefulness instead of uselessness, the way of value rather than vanity, the way of wisdom instead of war and wrath, the way most excellent instead of endlessly exhausting, the way of youthfulness eternal rather than yelling agonizingly forever, the way of zeal for God and good forevermore instead of life being a hopeless zilch and zero for now and forever. Oh, this all and so much more is gained when believing and delighting in God's Word and its gospel revelation to us, prayerfully asking God to make it more and more known and treasured by us. I followed the letters of the alphabet just now to reflect a little the beauty of the amazing acrostic of the whole of Psalm 119 in its 22 sections, going by the letters of the Hebrew alphabet, in teaching and driving home the preciousness of God's Word for all who take it to heart. We need at this point to hasten to our last question, so what now? Well, becoming downright practical then, let me just ask these questions for each of us to take home. One, are you reading the Bible regularly and prayerfully? Or does the Bible hardly get opened by you, especially not by you alone? How many church people in general, even church people, seldom open the Bible, except on Sundays maybe? Could that be true also for you? Someone said, well, about the Bible, reading this book will keep you from sin. Sin will keep you from reading this book. What are you doing with the Bible, dear friends? The second question is, do you read your Bible carefully or carelessly? Let me give here the illustration someone gave of reading the Bible either like the flashy butterfly or the working bumblebee. The butterfly dances from flower to flower, hardly long stopping at any. But the bumblebee digs deep wherever it lands and gathers nectar at almost all its stops before going on to another. What kind of Bible reading are you and I? More like the butterfly or the bumblebee? Which should it be, and may it be, with also the promise of great reward? The third question related to all this is in relation to your local church. Do you do all you can to participate and be involved and learning and growing in the teaching and study of the Bible and all things related to the Bible? Are you attending a Bible-believing, Bible-preaching church? Are you growing in understanding the Bible from the church where you attend? And question four is, do you pray regularly also for God by His Spirit to bless the reading and study and ministry of His Word? The fact is, we can open the Bible and read from it, but without the Holy Spirit's blessing, the Bible remains a closed book to us and we remain closed to it. But with the Spirit's blessing, the Bible opens to a book of life. Wonderful words of life are then found on every page. One more question, that is, should we not see it as sin and a sign of backsliding or not being converted at all yet if we have no priority, interest, and hunger for God's Word? For didn't Jesus Himself say, sitting at His feet under His Word is time and again the one thing needful? Be alarmed and ashamed when you are bored with God's Word and all gospel truth and all things related to the Christian church and kingdom of God. If this is you, ask God to change you and convert you before you become hardened in the way of sin and unbelief and blinded in and with the attractions and distractions of this world, leading people mindlessly to the place of everlasting punishment and eternal doom. Here let me remind you of what we read in Revelation 1 verse 3. Blessed is he or she that reads, and they that hear the words of this prophecy, and keep those things which are written therein. For the time is at hand. Guidance for becoming most wise. Let's not scorn it, but prize it. Not skim it, but treasure it. Not hide it, but promote it. Not minimize it, but maximize it. God helping us and blessing us time and again. Also with this 98, 99, and 100 sermon. May it be our prayer and our life. Lord, Thou through Thy commandments has made me wiser than mine enemies, for they are ever with me. That means God's commandments. I have more understanding than all my teachers, for thy testimonies are my meditation. I understand more than the ancients, because I keep thy precepts. The Bible. Yes, that's the book for me. Amen. Dear friends, this radio broadcast is not meant as a substitute for worshiping in a faithful Bible-believing church. If you are not currently worshiping in such a church, you are most welcome to come to our services. To learn about the Free Reformed Churches in your area, check our website at www.frcna.org. Again, www.frcna.org. If you have been blessed by this message, or you would like a free copy of today's broadcast, you can write to The Banner of Truth, 680 Brook Park Drive, Southwest, Calgary, Alberta, T2W2R1. That's The Banner of Truth, 680 Brook Park Drive, Southwest, Calgary, Alberta, T2W2R1. We are always glad to hear from our listeners. And now, until next week, the Lord be with you all.
For more information about the Banner of Truth and the Free Reformed Churches of North America, visit our website at www.frcna.org. These radio messages are also being posted on the Internet and can be downloaded for free. Visit www.sermonaudio.com and search on the Banner of Truth. Please join us again next week for the Banner of Truth broadcast.